Blog Talk Radio.
We don't play, we take it to the house. M.I.A., take it to the house. Just the way we take it to the house. Take it to the house, take it to the house. 305, take it to the house. Well, we got that fire, take it to the house. Slip inside, take it to the house. Take it to the house, take it to the house.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo, and I'm coming to you live with my co-host T. And, of course, Kant. Very happy Halloween to all. We have a special episode for you tonight, not just because it's Halloween, but since we've reached the halfway point of the fantasy season, we're going to be presenting our mid-season fantasy football awards tonight. Should be exciting, something new, sort of switching up the format. But what we won't be changing is the format of Kant's picks of the week. So Kant, again, added the two extra games last week because of the success from the week before. Not as successful. A very, very mediocre 3-4 week, but still way ahead on the season at 22-17. He claims it's going to change, so just stick around. Let's get started on the fantasy football talk. As we discuss, everybody feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, so we're going to go through the games a little bit quicker than usual because we want to get to the awards, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of arguing and disagreements, so it might take a little time. As for the game tonight, Bengals at Dolphins, and Andy Dalton's been on an absolute tear, three-plus TDs in three straight games. He's just been – and the guy who's catching most of his balls, Marvin Jones, now has a touchdown in three straight games and, of course, four touchdowns last game, which – even more impressively, he only did this on running 13 routes. So they obviously just looked to him in the red zone. He made the most of it, and it's going forward. You got to assume that they're just going to make a point to throw him the ball while in the red zone. So I don't think it's too much of a fluke. Obviously, don't expect four touchdowns every game or every week. But Andy Dalton looks legit for now. Would you put him going forward the rest of the year? Would you rather have Tom Brady or Andy Dalton?
I would say Tom Brady only because I think, you know, Andy Dalton has been subject to these kind of streaks before in his career, and you know it wouldn't surprise me if he's back to the Andy Dalton we all know and love in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, same. He has good weapons, but he's just been very inconsistent. I think it's only a matter of time before he comes back down to earth. For Miami, and this could be a week to do it. Miami's actually they've only allowed one wide receiver touchdown all season long, so something has to give tonight between the two of them. For the Miami running back, Lamar Miller, 112 total yards, and Daniel Thomas about half that, but he did vulture the touchdown, so it's still a timeshare between them.
Yeah, I wouldn't really expect these two to do much tonight either. I think the Bengals' defensive line is just going to dominate the Miami Dolphins' offensive line. The Dolphins may have the worst offensive line in football, so you know I wouldn't expect too much. I would actually maybe start Daniel Thomas over Lamar Miller this week, only because Thomas is going to get the goal line carry. If there's a goal line situation, Thomas is probably going to get into the end zone. And, you know, I don't expect consistent production from these two tonight with, you know, the huge mismatch with the Bengals defensive line against the Dolphins offensive line.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't help that they also lose their receiver, Brandon Gibson, who was quietly probably the most productive receiver all year long. So that just definitely that doesn't help Ryan Tannehill, who's already struggling and now goes against that dominant defensive line.
Yeah, and just to add, I know you already brought up Marvin Jones, but Mohamed Sanu has been, last I checked, has been ruled out tonight. You said that Marvin Jones did all of his damage while running only 13 rounds. He's probably going to get an extended role tonight, well, more so than he had last week, at least. You know, he'll probably be the number two wide receiver instead of the number three wide receiver tonight.
Yeah, and based off of that, now they needed to add another receiver and look for a deep sleeper. Just keep the guy, keep your eye on Andrew Hawkins. He was actually very, pretty productive in very limited time last year. Just a very quick guy that kind of runs intermediate slot routes. So just if he does anything tonight, he could be a guy to look for going forward.
Yeah, he could be a nice PPR ad. He kind of reminds me of Kendall Wright a little bit.
A little bit. And speaking of Kendall Wright, let's move on to the Titans-Rams game.
Ooh, where, I wasn't even playing. Nice.
Yeah, it was actually next on the list. Great transition. Kendall Wright, season best, 9 catches for 98 yards in week 7. And the guy throwing the ball to him, Jake Locker, has now, kind of stamped as a bust before the year started. I mean, he didn't have much time, but now multiple touchdowns in 4 straight. He's becoming, especially in this bye week, is a very good fantasy option. And you know, he's going to be a free agent in most leagues, so that's the big thing with him. For the Rams, Zach Stacy, 134 yards and 26 carries against the Seahawks, no less. But if I had to guess, he's still getting tested on that ankle. It doesn't look like he's going to play this week. That's pretty quick to come back. You know, he played Monday night, so it's on short notice or short rest. I just don't think he's going to make it back. Look for Darryl Richardson to get the majority of the carries there. And they have Benny Cunningham and Isaiah Peter have both been active scratches of the past 2 weeks. So, and not only that, the Rams are still the only team in the NFL without a rushing touchdown, so you can't trust any of these guys. Zach Stacy going forward, that's about it. Anything else about this offense? You're still not starting
Rams
receivers. Yeah.
Yeah, don't start anyone on the Rams if Zach Stacy doesn't play.
That's sound advice.
Yeah. I mean, what else would you like me to say? There's really, you know, the Titans defense is pretty good, so it's very underrated defense. I mean, I'm, you know, in one league I'm streaming defenses, and I picked up the Titans. This week. So, you know, I think that, you know, I wouldn't expect much from the Rams offense, the Kellen Clemens-led Rams offense this week.
Right. He actually didn't look terrible. He looked better than I thought, but still, you're not starting him. He's not too impressive. Vikings-Cowboys, Adrian Peterson did not receive more than 13 carries or rushed for more than 65 yards in 3 straight games. So he's not getting the opportunity, and between the quarterback carousel that they're throwing out there, it looks like Josh Freeman's going to start this week for the Vikings. He's just not getting the opportunity. And, I mean, we're going to talk about it later when it goes to our first-round mock draft, but he's almost played himself or not played himself out of the first round if we were to redraft today. It's obviously not his fault. Jerome Simpson and Greg Jennings aren't doing much either. It's just this team is just a mess right now. And on the other hand, the Cowboys, even Tony Romo, he had a bad real-life game. He was bailed out by 3 phenomenal plays by wide receivers, specifically Dez Bryant and Terrence Williams, who Terrence Williams is legit now. He's an absolute wide receiver, too, going forward.
Yeah, touchdown in 4 straight games, I think it is.
Yeah, and these are, I mean, big plays, too. He's making them happen. They're not just fluke touchdowns at all. The running back situation, DeMarco Murray practicing, should be back this week. He was close last week, and now with another 7 days of rest, you should expect him to give it a go.
I mean, if DeMarco Murray is active and plays, he's probably a top 5 start this week against the Vikings defense. It's just awful.
Yeah, especially in the big bye week. You got to assume if he is back, he's going to get the majority of the carries. So I definitely like him going forward. Chiefs at Bills. Dexter McCluster targeted 15 times and 11 catches for 137 yards and a touchdown. Now, is this a fluke? Or is this just a one-week thing? Where has he been all season long? I feel like he's done this before. He's just had huge games and then disappeared.
The numbers you gave were over the last 2 weeks, right?
The last 2 weeks,
okay. I want to make sure. I was going to say, I don't think he had that game last week. I mean, he's a playmaker. If he's going to average 7.5 to 8 targets a game, chances are he's going to make a play on one of those targets. So, if they're making a concerted effort to get him the ball, then no, it's not a fluke. He's always been a playmaker. He's that tweener. He doesn't really have a position. You know, he was a running back in college. And they kind of tried to make him a slot wide receiver. But, like I said, if they're going to make an effort to get McCluster the ball, he's going to make plays.
Yeah, I feel like he's just kind of like a four-man's Chris Johnson and where he needs to be in space in order to make something happen. And unless you get him the ball in those situations, then he's kind of useless and he can disappear for full games at a time.
Yeah, he definitely has, that ability to, let's put it this way. He can definitely put up some fantasy points, but he can also just go in there and put up a 0.
Right.
He's one of those guys.
Not too far off from C.J. Spiller, who's if you do play him this week, it looks like he's going to be back. He's not a guy you could trust. He's kind of a hit-or-miss flex play this week. But Fred Jackson's going to carry the load, as per usual. If Fred Jackson does get hurt, say Fred Jackson gets hurt, which is very possible since he has an injury history, what would you make of C.J. Spiller? Does that put him in the top 10 for running backs for the rest of the season?
I don't know because, I mean,
if that had happened.
If it was a healthy C.J. Spiller, his injury is very confusing because, obviously the coaches don't think he's healthy enough, which is why he was scratched last week, why he scratched the hockey team, but why he wasn't dressed last week. But, he thinks he's healthy enough to play, so it really depends. A healthy C.J. Spiller would definitely be in the top 10. But
well, Fred Jackson wanted to get hurt this game.
You would think that the sharp choice would take some of the carries. Is it possible that the sharp choice would just play the Fred Jackson role and C.J. Spiller's role wouldn't really increase that much due to him being hurt?
But that's kind of what they had last year, and C.J. Spiller still had the monster season, even with Fred Jackson taking his carries.
If
Fred Jackson were to get hurt, E.J. Manuel's coming back sooner rather than later. He'd be in a pretty good situation. He'd be actually a phenomenal buy low candidate for the fantasy playoffs. And same with Stevie Johnson, who had kind of come back to wide receiver 3 status after being benchable, actually being droppable in certain leagues. Caught 13 of his 24 targets for 134 yards and a touchdown. So it's good to see him back to where he was, his consistent mold. Chargers, Redskins, Brian Matthews. Now, I found this extremely interesting. He had 100 yards rushing in 2 straight games, which he's the only running back in the NFL with back-to-back 100-yard rushing games this year. That just goes to show you how unproductive the running backs have been, how inconsistent they've been. Because when you think of Ryan Matthews, you don't think of one of the better fantasy backs of this season.
Yeah, the fact that LeSean McCoy or Jamaal Charles or Matt Forte all haven't had back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. It's just so weird to me, and it's even weirder the fact that Ryan Matthews has.
It's just strange. This is not one of the last guys, but, he's not even in my top 15 if I had to pick someone to accomplish this feat, and this just came out of nowhere. And speaking of coming out of nowhere, Jordan Reed, over the past 2 games, leads all tight ends with 17 catches for 224 yards and a touchdown. So he's got to be a top 10 guy going forward, especially now Julius Thomas is banged up. That affects his status a little bit.
Jimmy Graham's banged up.
Jimmy Graham, yeah, he's going to be limited going forward. I mean, I still wouldn't put, I'd rather have both of them than Jordan Reed, but got to put him in the top 10, definitely in the lower end.
Would you rather have Jordan Reed or Jordan Cameron for the rest of the year?
Jordan Cameron. I think there's a reason Jordan Cameron. I think he's just more talented. It's like if Jordan Reed was that good, then he would have been starting from the beginning. I like his situation, and they do run a lot of the plays for the tight end, so I wouldn't be surprised if he outscored Cameron. But I'd still rather go with a more talented player.
I agree with you, but I think it's very close.
Yeah, I'm sure it's closer than I made
it
seem.
It's a lot closer than it was 2 weeks ago. Let's put it that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we'll run it short. Yeah.
Or even last week, whatever you want to say. But, you had mentioned that Ryan Matthews has finally, turned the corner and maybe is becoming not a complete draft bust when he's taken 12th overall. But, there's no need to worry about Danny Woodhead. They get their points in different ways. Woodhead is more of a pass catcher. In his last 5 games, he has at least 4 catches and 47 yards. And he has at least 70 total yards, like I said, in his last 5 straight games. So, they're just one of the in a year where there has not been a lot of fantasy productive running backs. They're the rare team that actually has 2 that see enough snaps a piece per game to both be fantasy productive at least in PPR leagues.
Yeah, and this is a great matchup for both of them against the Redskins, too.
Yeah,
the
Redskins stink.
You could definitely start both of them this week.
What do you make of the RG3? He looked like he was finally becoming his old self a couple weeks ago, and then he went out and just had a terrible game against Denver. Do you think it's just going to be a roller coaster ride for the rest of the year, or do you think it's just
game? You still have to be happy with where he's at, given, based off his first few weeks where he looked pretty terrible. So you're definitely still holding on to him. This isn't a bad matchup for him as well. Now with the emergence of Jordan Reed, they're only going to get better. Yeah, you
be a top 10 guy for you going the rest of the way?
Top 10 guy, I mean, I don't have a list in front of me. He's obviously close. But then again, he's pretty much in the same spot he was in the beginning of the year. I have to say he's a little bit higher than it was in the beginning of the year just based off of what's gone on with now Vic is hurt, Cutler's hurt. There's just less consistency at the quarterback position.
How would you rank these three guys going forward? Let's put it into perspective. You know, and like I said, you're right. It's like the beginning of the year. I feel like we were ranking these guys. But Russell Wilson, Kaepernick, RG3, rest of the year, how would you rank them?
I'm going to say the same thing that I, you know, both. I put RG3 last just because of injury concerns. I still have to put Kaepernick first, just based off of upside. And granted, they're all young and spectacular, but I'll put Kaepernick first, Russell Wilson, then RG3. That's just, I think Kaepernick's the most, especially from a fantasy perspective, the most likely to break out.
I think I'm almost the exact opposite. I think I thought Wilson first, just because I think he has the best chance just to get you consistent points from a week-to-week basis. RG3 second, because I think he is the most explosive. If all three were healthy, and just playing the rest of the year, I think RG3 would be the best of the three, and Kaepernick third, just because, you know, when you talk about Tom Brady being a disappointment, Colin Kaepernick is right up there. I mean, I know he had a great first half last week against the Jags, but let's face it, it's against the Jags, you know. So, you know, he's been a huge disappointment this year. So I think that I would go Wilson, RG3, Kaepernick.
Yeah, it was close enough. They can't even argue either way. Anyway, let's move on. Falcons, Panthers. Steven Jackson returns, unfortunately for his owners, 11 carries for 6 yards against the Cardinals. And the Cardinals have a pretty good defense, but that's pathetic. I mean, there's a possibility they rush him back, brought him back a little too soon because they've been desperate. Their whole offense is depleted, except for the emergence of Harry Douglas, who's caught 19 of his 25 targets for 270 yards and a touchdown in his last two games. So they're clearly going to him. They're still throwing the ball, and it's not just it's not like a volume thing. He's making the most of his targets. So.
Well, no, it is a volume thing.
Well, that definitely helps, but it's not. They're
but
not overwhelming.
I understand. Like, he's being efficient, but you're starting people in the Atlanta offense because Matt Ryan threw the ball 61 times last week.
Okay, let me think of one off the top of my head. When Roddy White comes back, which is probably not this week, he's probably going to sit out again. They learned their lesson with him. They're going to wait till he gets healthy. When Roddy White comes back, it puts Harry Douglas as the number two receiver. Would you rather have, from that point forward, Harry Douglas or Stevie Johnson for the rest of the way?
Harry Douglas.
Maybe that was a little low. Harry Douglas or Marcus Colson the rest of the way?
Harry Douglas.
Harry Douglas or Alshon Jeffrey the rest of the way?
Harry Douglas.
All right. I mean, I like him too. We'll see how it plays out.
I mean, that can all change, but the bottom line is, it's not even that I like Harry Douglas that much. It's just that he's going to get the more consistent quarterback play than everyone you just mentioned.
Yeah, it's true.
And if they're going to throw the ball 40-plus times a game, then he's going to see targets, whether he's the number one or number two receiver.
Fair enough. Panthers, not much to talk about. Cam Newton's been better.
What about Mike Tolbert?
Okay. Yeah, Tolbert's scored in three straight games now, so he's kind of a nice bye-week fill-in. I wouldn't mind. He doesn't need to be owned in all leagues. But Jonathan Stewart's back now. He looks like he's going to play this week. So that just now there's three guys in that backfield. Makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I know, but I think Tolbert is kind of like the guy that they trust the most almost. Like,
if you had to start any of them, I would start Tolbert just because
he's going to get Stewart. Jonathan Stewart or D'Angelo Williams are not going to set the goal line. It's either going to be Cam Newton or Mike Tolbert.
Yeah.
So, you know.
His role is going to be reduced the least, Tolbert.
What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
His role is going to be reduced less than D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, I mean,
from
but he can. It's weird. He's not like a. He does everything better than D'Angelo and Jonathan Stewart, except actually run the ball. If that makes sense? Like, all right, just hear me out. He's the best receiver they have out of the backfield. He's the best pass protector they have out of the backfield. So, you know, when they, you know, like if you watch the game last Thursday, the Panthers run, it's almost like they run backwards. They throw the ball all over the field, and when they get to the red zone, they run. And Mike Tolbert has, you know, inside the 10-yard line, he's the running back. So, you know, Cam Newton was throwing the ball all over the field last Thursday, and then when they got inside the 10, Mike Tolbert was the running back. So, I mean, I don't think Jonathan Stewart is going to change that, and that's why I think I'd rather have him over D'Angelo, definitely Jonathan Stewart, but even over D'Angelo.
Yeah, going forward, I think it's clear rank of Mike Tolbert, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart in that order.
And he's going to catch you 3 or 4 passes a game.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree.
I think he had a receiving touchdown last Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
I agree. They got to get rid of one, if not two, of these guys.
They both
in the offseason.
A lot of money, too.
Yeah. I don't know that they're completely... Well, the three of them make a decent amount of money, actually. So, moving on, Monday morning hangover, 760-283-0846. Next game, Saints at Jets. And I don't know what's happened with Darren Sproles, who played only 17 snaps against the Bills and been below 20 snaps twice in the last three. So he's just not getting – you could say that Pierre Thomas is taking this role, but you just have to assume that Sproles is – that's what he does. If he catches balls out of the backfield, that's where he's been consistent over the past few years. So it's kind of has to start worrying you, just the same with Marcus Colson. He's not getting the opportunities either. So this offense is going to – they've been running it through Jimmy Graham, who's going to be limited now. So it looks like Kenny Stills has made up for the majority of the – he's made up the slack, and Lance Moore back. He caught 3 of his 4 targets for 34 yards and a touchdown. It's hard to trust any of these guys going forward except for Graham. But, I mean, would you start Kenny Stills over Marcus Colson?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
you'd have to consider it, and I think Kenny Stills is worth being owned now. And if he had to, I wouldn't drop Marcus Colson. I still think he's talented enough, and his breakthrough can come whenever. So it's kind of like a Hakeem Nicks situation now, where he's just not, and Dwayne Bowe, they're not getting separation, they're just not getting open, and it's tough to.
I know, like last year, if Drew Brees threw 5 touchdowns in a game, and Darren Sproles and Marquise Colson didn't do anything, it would have been unheard of. But I don't really know what's going on with the Saints. So Colson stinks. I just think that injuries have just taken the toll on him. But as far as Sproles goes, I have no idea. And as far as, Lance Moore and Kenny Stills goes, either one of them can go off and either one of them cannot have a catch in any game. So I don't really know what to make of the Saints.
For the rest of the season, would you rather have Darren Sproles or Ryan Matthews, PPR league?
Matthews, I think.
Darren Sproles or... Fred Jackson.
Fred Jackson.
Darren Sproles or... healthy Zach Stacy.
Darren Sproles,
I think. All right, so,
Darren Sproles for the past 3 years, has been, the premier guy you want in PPR leagues, but he suffers a lot in non-PPR leagues. You know what I mean? He's way better in PPR leagues than he is not.
He is, and he hasn't even been in PPR leagues.
I think I'd rather have Danny Woodhead rather than Darren Sproles.
Well, believe that. Who would you rather have, Ryan Matthews or Danny Woodhead?
It's close. That's really close.
All right.
Probably Danny Woodhead.
In breaking news, it looks like David Nelson is the new Jets wide receiver you want starting. Or at least if you're that desperate, then he's the guy. I think he replaces Jeremy Curley as the desperation bye week play of the week. There you go, David Nelson.
Bye week play of the week.
Yeah, I didn't come up with it. You know, we did other awards, and I focused more on those. I didn't really the title for that one, not so much. I won't be making a trophy for that one to hand out. Eagles at Raiders. Nick Foles will start for the Eagles, pass all his concussion tests. That's good news for the entire offense, as long as they keep Matt Barkley off the field. And quarterback for the Raiders, Terrell Pryor, who he had finished the game with 15 fantasy points, and he gained 15 fantasy points off his very first play from scrimmage, a 93-yard touchdown run, so he did absolutely nothing after that play. And you don't expect a 93-yard touchdown run from the quarterback for the longest in NFL history. So I wouldn't say fluky. He has that ability, that big play ability and the rushing ability, but you can't count on that and you can't expect that from him. So not a good sign that he was limited, especially against the Steelers defense that's kind of been struggling.
Oh, no, they've been much better lately. But
yeah, just,
they're not, like,
you were expecting to get more than
McCoy, I'm looking at LeSean McCoy. I think Pryor's going to have a huge game against the Eagles this week.
The Eagles defense is a fantastic matchup. It's a good chance to see how his arm works out.
I like Pryor and Denarius Moore this week.
Yeah,
the Eagles have given up.
Obviously been much better with Pryor as his quarterback.
Yeah, he has. He scored in three of his last four games with Pryor as quarterback, and he has 5 touchdowns and 7 starts together.
Yeah, so he's obviously been much better. These definitely two guys. You want to start everyone in this matchup just because pretty much every game with the Eagles, it's more of an offensive shootout. So that's just kind of
the lack of
defense. And
the Eagles have exactly 10 points in the last 2 years.
I guess with quarterback struggles. And
The vaunted Chip Kelly offense is now dead last in the NFL in offense ranking, 32nd.
Are they really, overall?
Is yep. That?
Weren't they like second? That's not just the past 2 weeks.
No, for the year.
Pretty bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's funny because
too.
Like they come out on national TV Monday Night Football and torch what we thought then was a very good Redskins team, and everybody says, "Oh wow, Chip Kelly's offense is going to be really good." But you know, when you look back at it, that win's not as impressive as it was when it happened because Redskins stink and their defense is terrible. But
yeah, they've also had injuries too. You have to count that.
Well, everybody had injuries.
Yeah, but to the quarterback position, it's kind of a big blow. But anyway, yeah, you're right. They're not as good as it originally looked like they were going to be. So.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy hasn't seen the end zone in 3 games. Just 103 yards rushing on his last 33 carries. You know, for a guy that started off hot, he's been kind of cooled off. Although I'm not panicking about McCoy. I'm just saying in the last 3 games, he hasn't really done too much. McCoy's a much better running back with Vic as quarterback. You know, like you've heard it on this podcast before, the rushing quarterback always adds an element to the defense that helps out the running back, whether it's McCoy and Vic, you know, McFadden and Pryor. Who's enough? There's one more big one. Yeah, RG3 Alfred Morris. So, you know, it always helps out the running back when you have a threat as a quarterback to run. And LeSean McCoy is, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think I said him last week on the air. But LeSean McCoy split stats with Vic as quarterback and Nick Foles as quarterback. They're very different. So
don't say the Giants have a bad running game, right, as of late? Maybe they should sign Tim Tebow. I think he would be able to improve that running game. I think he'd be able to get Andre Brown on his way back. Yeah, it might be a little bit better. Make both those guys fantasy relevant there.
Hey, buddy, Eli won a Super Bowl with the 32nd, right? Rushing offense.
Yeah, regular season. Anyway, Buccaneers-Seahawks.
What is that supposed to mean, regular season? That's what
they were 32nd in the regular season. If we based the stats off the regular season, then the Giants wouldn't have been they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl. Everything's a race once the playoffs start.
Quite simply, Eli was the best player in the NFL that year.
That year?
Yeah.
That postseason, you mean?
No, that regular season. He sure won MVP.
Oh, jeez. Buccaneers-Seahawks. Mike Glennon thrown more passes in his first 4 starts than any other quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah, that's because the Bucs stink.
Yeah, I mean, but it's something to be said about it, especially from a fantasy perspective. Where
I think the Jags might be able to beat the Bucs.
Well, they went head to head.
Yeah,
are they playing each other this year?
No, I doubt it.
That'd be kind of cool. But no, you never know. I mean, they're both pretty terrible. Doug Martin's still out. Doesn't
I'm
help
saying,
the Bucs,
like,
of course.
I haven't looked at the schedule. I think it's a realistic possibility that both those teams might go winless. Like, I think that's how bad they are.
Yeah, at this point, I guess, what are they, 0-7? No, it doesn't
I think one team's 0-7. I think the Bucs are 0-7 and the Jaguars are 0-8. I don't think the Jaguars – yeah, the Jaguars have their bye this week.
Yeah, and the Jaguars actually said they're gonna stick with Chad Henne through the bye week. So, which is good for all the skilled players. Jaguars aren't even playing. I don't know why we're talking about them. Percy Harvin just noted that he's not going to play this week. There was a chance, as of a few hours ago, that he was going to be able to give it a shot, but his hip flared up again. So he's not going to make it, and it looks like he's going to be questionable again for week 10. So he still needs to be owned in all leagues. Stash him on your bench. He's definitely going to help you towards the end of the season eventually. Ravens at Browns.
I'm sorry, just one thing about Harvin. This is the second setback he's had in 2 weeks, a long time to come back. So, you know, I wouldn't bet on him coming back and being fantasy relevant.
I wouldn't bet on it. I think he still has a good chance. It's just, I mean, he's coming back. He's potentially coming back much earlier than originally expected, so maybe that's probably why he's having a
setback. If he comes back, it's going to take him 2 or 3 weeks to be fantasy. He's going to be on a clear snap count or whatever you want to call it.
You don't want to be starting him right away, especially once the fantasy playoffs come around. Ravens at Browns. The big thing here, Jason Campbell is going to start essentially for the rest of the year, which it's not bad news for Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron, which is good. They both had productive games. Gordon, 5 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown, and Jordan Cameron, 4 for 81. So it's just good to see that he's capable of getting in the ball. That's really all that matters. Where do you take anything from the Ravens offense? They've pretty much been
terrible.
You're still starting Torrey Smith. Ray Rice, if you have him.
Torrey Smith
has cooled off since the beginning of the year.
I doubt you have 3 wide receivers better than Torrey Smith, though, on your team.
Oh, yeah, you're still starting. I'm just saying it's worth mentioning that he's cooled down a little bit, which we kind of expected.
The Ravens offense stinks. Flacco stinks.
You're starting Torrey Smith and Ray Rice, definitely. Steelers, Patriots. Emmanuel Sanders finally emerged season high, 8 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. He's not going to do this every week. He's a little inconsistent. He's one of those guys. He's going to be a good bye week fill-in, especially against the Patriots defense. Kip Tlaib will probably be covering Antonio Brown for most of the game. So, nice little fill-in, especially in PPR leagues. For the Patriots, Tom Brady, still only 1 game where he finished in the top 12 for quarterback. So, hasn't thrown multiple touchdowns in 4 straight games. This is with Gronkowski back, who was a little unimpressive. Played only 35 of 60 snaps for 2 catches for 27 yards. So, you've got to expect he's going to be better than that from here on out. But we thought Brady was going to do better once Gronkowski came back. He could still be limited. We don't know. He might still be hurt, especially even with Ridley coming back. And that really is a touchdown in 3 straight. So all these factors should be helping Tom Brady. And he's
and Amendola played last week.
Yeah, and he still didn't do it. So I don't know. I mean, he just obviously can't be trusted moving forward. And you're still keeping him on your roster. You're still holding on to him, and you're playing him in good matchups. And this isn't the greatest matchup. The Steelers' secondary has been pretty good. But, I mean, depending on your quarterback, I would rank Brady anywhere from, 12 to 15 this week. So there's a decent, very good chance that you have a better quarterback to start this week. Colts-Texans still, despite their struggles, no team has allowed fewer passing yards per game than the Texans, who give up just 158 yards per game, which is pretty unbelievable. It's pretty impressive. Now you mix in the fact that the Colts is their first game without Reggie Wayne, coming off the bye week. T.Y. Hilton, you gotta figure he's going to be the main beneficiary with the absence of Reggie Wayne. He gets more snaps. I mean, same with Darius Heyward-Bey, but as we've been saying all year, you and me both agree that T.Y. Hilton is the more explosive, more talented player here. So.
Yeah, and this is going to seem like a little overreacting, but if the Colts make an effort to get T.Y. Hilton the ball, I think he could be a top 10 wide receiver the rest of the way. He just has that type of big playability. You know, he's been limited. He's a small guy, plays out of the slot, but if he's going to be on the field all the time and they're making an effort to get him the ball, there's not many people in the league that can cover T.Y. Hilton one-on-one.
Yeah, this definitely helps every person in this offense except for Andrew Luck just because he loses his number one receiver. But I think he'll still be fine going forward. I'd rather have him than all 3 of the other quarterbacks we spoke of before, who we also have compared all season, Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, and RG3. Quarterback Case Keenum is going to start again for Houston. hopefully even two quarterback leagues, you try to avoid him. And this is not good news for the skilled players on this offense. Andre Johnson hasn't scored in 10 straight games. It's not going to help having the rookie at quarterback. Aaron Foster and Ben Tate both participated in practice today. If I had a guess, they're both going to play, and it's going to be more of a timeshare. They signed Deji Kareem off the practice squad. It's possible that there's just a three-person committee here. So you're obviously starting Aaron Foster. If he does play, I don't expect too much. And you got to limit your expectations there. Bears-Packers, the Monday night game. We have
everyone on the Packers. Hard.
Yeah, pretty much. And promising enough, I think you could still start the players on the Bears, too, Alshon Jeffery and Brandon Marshall, even with Josh McCown at quarterback. I think he did all right for the one half that he played. And actually, in that one half, Alshon Jeffery had 105 yards receiving. So just in the two quarters, caught four of his five targets. So he's going to be looking to throw the ball to his weapons, which he has two good ones, Alshon Jeffery and Brandon Marshall. Marshall, who saw seven targets from McCown, just caught three for 47 yards, but he'll be fine. James Jones, again, missed practice today. Probably won't play, which is good news for Jarrett Boykin. He's another guy you want to start from here on out. And Eddie Lacy, who now touched the ball at least 24 times in four straight. He's becoming...
Eddie Lacy is a top three player this week.
Brandon Jacobs rushed for 120 in touchdown, I guess.
Yeah, the Bears are not good. Not good at all. It's
don't let the name, like Bears defense fool you. They're not a good defense.
Yeah, they're really not at all. I mean, it's just, more importantly, Eddie Lacy is just getting the opportunities. He's getting the majority of the rushes here. So he's definitely, top three this week, I think he's definitely a top 10 going forward, as long as he can resume his health. So anyway, that covers all the games. As I said, we're going to try to breeze through them and go a little quicker than usual because we want to get to our midseason awards.
Just a quick note, I'm actually trying to make a trade right now. There's a guy in my league that's desperate for water. I'm in a league where you only get two moves per week, so this owner clearly has not thought ahead.
Who's his owner?
What?
Who are you trying to make a trade with?
I'm not sure if I should say his name on air, but he has been a guest on this podcast before.
He needs initials.
CJ.
I figured. Nice work.
He cannot field a full team. And he has C.J. Spiller, who is not currently starting for him because, obviously, he's hurt. Now, I'm trying to buy low, and I offered him Denarius Moore for C.J. Spiller straight up. What did you think of that?
Moore for Spiller?
Yeah.
You're getting C.J. Spiller?
What?
I mean, I just traded for C.J. Spiller in a sort of buy low situation in my other league, so I definitely wouldn't object to that.
What'd you give up for C.J. Spiller?
I think it's worth mentioning that I lost. I lost to this person last week in this very same week because you made a trade with him. I scored the second most points. He had the most points, and it's because you gave him Calvin Johnson. I would have won if that trade didn't happen.
I was actually reading. For people that listen to the podcast, they know I run a Cons is trying to make fun of me, but what? I don't care about that. So this is actually a really cool league idea, and if, you know, the site I run my league on allows me to do it. So say you have a 10-team league. There's obviously five head-to-head matchups a week, right? So you actually play two games a week. You play the head-to-head, so you get, you know, five teams winning, five teams losing in that. And then no matter how you're doing your head-to-head matchup, the five top-scoring teams get a win and the five bottom-scoring teams get a loss. So, you know, if you're the top scorer and you win your head-to-head matchup, you're 2-0 for the week. But you can win a head-to-head matchup and have a bottom five score, and you'd be 1-for-1 for the week. I think that's a pretty cool idea. It awards teams that score a lot of points, but for leagues that would be in a tough division or whatever, you know.
Yeah, you know what else is a cool idea?
What's that?
Mid-season fantasy football awards. So let's get to it.
You know, we had a little extra time today, so I just figured I'd say that.
Well, I'm sure we're going to have a lot to say when it comes to some of these picks. First thing, we're going to go over... Yeah, I won't even list off all the things. We'll just go as we go along. I'll name them. MVP, fantasy MVP. I'm sure we both had the same thought when going over this, but the obvious pick is Peyton Manning. Am I wrong? It's got to be Peyton Manning as a fantasy MVP, and I think we can both agree on that. But that being said, that's why I think we both went with someone else. Just for
I knew you looked at my notes before the show.
What?
How do you know I went with somebody else?
Because I...
Because you peaked them in up.
I'm peaking... As I just spoke about before, my thing actually says obvious pick is Peyton Manning. That's why I didn't go with him.
No, I don't think that Peyton Manning, just because he scores the most points, there's so many good quarterbacks this year. I actually picked Jamal Charles.
I was just
going to
say, and you would have thought you would have accused me even harder, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I picked Jamal Charles just because he's so by far and away the best running back this year. You know, I think as far in terms of overall scoring, I think either Knowshon or Matt Forte are second, and it's not even close. You know, with quarterback, you know, you can have Breeze, Stafford, Andrew Luck, whoever, and, you know, you'd still be, like, you could have picked up Phillip Rivers as a free agent and not been in a terrible situation. But with Jamal Charles, he just offers such a big advantage. But that's just my thoughts on the MVP, I think. You know,
That's fine. I think that's fine. I think Peyton Manning is definitely the better play. But anyway, my MVP, I don't think it's too shocking for anyone who's been listening. Jimmy Graham, and we actually went by the same scoring system. We went by the scoring system in his league, so we were both on the same guidelines. But Jimmy Graham, this is why I went with Graham at the tight end position. 154 points scored. He's 32 points behind the leader, Jamal Charles, your MVP, at 186. Now, Charles included, there's seven non-quarterbacks who have more points than Graham. Only seven. Calvin, Wes Welker, Knowshon, Demaryius Thomas, A.J. Green, and Dez Bryant. However, out of those eight guys, Jimmy Graham is the only one who's had his bye week so far.
You didn't say Charles.
Including Charles, I said.
Matt Forte didn't have more points than Jimmy Graham?
I don't believe so. Not based on your scoring. Look it up real quick. Is that how you say it?
Okay.
At a non-quarterback.
Yeah, and now you play that, right?
So, I'm saying, go ahead. No, so anyway.
I know you're not done with your point.
So now 30 less points than Charles. And the third place guy on that list, Wes Welker, only has four more points than Jimmy Graham. So now with the extra game, you got to assume Jimmy Graham's going to get more than 4 points this week.
I don't know.
That means Jimmy Graham's going to be the third highest scoring non-quarterback. If he could still get 30 points this game and be ahead of Jamal Charles, which I don't think he's going to do, but it's very possible. And you put it at
the
tight end
position. Not if he plays the Patriots. I don't know. I bet you no one ahead of him unless put up a zero in the game he played.
That is fine. He's going to be the third highest scoring non-quarterback in this week at the tight end position. Because this position scares me, and I agree with you too, because the running backs have been so bad, but the same with tight ends as well. I mean, he's finishing ahead of all these wide receivers. And he could even pass Calvin. I believe Calvin's something like 25 points ahead of him, but still.
Boy, I mean, he was neck and neck with Calvin before this week.
But Calvin also, I mean, Calvin, you got to consider this, Calvin sat out the game. But that screwed a lot of people, especially in your league where you could only do two pickups. But I think you were fine that week anyway.
I was.
But that's why I went with Graham.
Because I plan ahead.
Tight end position. Best free agent pickup.
I went first last time. You go first, though. I have three, but...
Yeah, that's fine. And I tried to go with one, and it's really hard because it's going to differ league by league because of who got drafted and stuff like that. I went with, actually, it's the guy I picked up in this league, Julius Thomas. Kind of the same concept of along with Jimmy Graham, just because the tight ends have been a little scarce. And he's been a top five guy this whole way, second in the league in touchdowns. It's more of a product of the system, of course. Peyton Manning as quarterback, I don't think he's overly talented, but he's going to produce the rest of the way. And this is days he did get hurt too, so that definitely doesn't help. But real quick, T, before we get to your pick, let's get to the caller that we have on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hey guys, yeah, I'm actually a fantasy owner of both Dez and Graham, who you're just talking about, but. I'm actually about to head out to a party, and I'm dressed as Batman. Do you think I should cut a dick hole in so I could fuck or get a blowjob real quickly? Or do you think that I should just try to take off my costume in the bathroom if I fuck a girl? I'm thinking to go with the dick hole. The dick hole seems really accessible, and I'll wear dark boxers. That way no one will actually see my cock sticking out. Right?
You know, I mean, I'd have to see the costume, of course.
Just picture, you know, your standard Batman outfit with a big cock hanging out.
this is how I see it. I mean, if you're home, it's Halloween night. It's one of the biggest party nights
of
the year.
Well, I'm going to a bar, and I'm just trying to find some sluts. So,
no,
well,
I
Jesus
know.
Christ,
no,
I, and he's trying to give you information. He's trying to give you advice.
You got a decent,
okay,
let him
I'm
you got a decent plan.
All right, I'm listening.
You're sitting home right now listening to a fantasy football podcast in a Batman costume, and you think you're going to get any girls? I don't think it's going to happen.
But I have a Batman
costume, dude,
with a dick hole in it.
Right.
You're sitting at home listening to, you're doing a fucking podcast, you goddamn fucking loser. I'm at least going to go out and get some pussy and a blowjob. You're probably sitting there with your boyfriend, unless he's blowing you. You're probably going to call butt fucking him right now, you fucking pussy.
That's the plan. Yeah, you plan on going out. Look, I wish you the best of luck.
Fuck you.
I really
have
do.
Have fun with your boyfriend. I'm cutting the dick hole. I'm doing the dick hole, okay?
All right, then why do you even – all right, fair enough. You're actually a better person to ask.
Let me stay on and host the rest of the show with you now.
Oh, you want to stay on now? I thought you were going out to the bar. All right. Yeah, I think he hung up. So anyway, as we were talking about.
You said Julius Thomas. I have a couple. I put on, you know, like you said, our scoring system went with full PPR guys. So I said either Alshon Jeffrey or Julian Edelman. What do you think about that, Ant?
They're both pretty. The reason I went with Julius is because he's been more consistent throughout the entire year. Those guys can obviously pass him up. I do like both the calls. Edelman's pretty much done at this point. It's like I said, it differs from league to league. It depends who got drafted, stuff like that. But we have another caller. Let's hope. Maybe we got
Get
Superman
for,
on the line. Caller,
this is Milky Way, Musketeers. Little Hershey bar with peanuts and peanut M&Ms and peanuts.
Is he talking to
okay, then this is an old granddad. This is what they call the $1,000 bar. Granddad, does that one there had no peanuts in it? Or Milky Way? And
you know what? I'm gonna put him and T on hold, and they can discuss candy bars as much as their heart desires. So T, you have a conversation with him. While you're doing that, my honorable mentions for best free agent pickup. I went with Terrence Williams and Zach Stacy. I just think Zach Stacy, if he didn't get hurt, he'd be well on his way to being a running back two the rest of the way. And Terrence Williams, we spoke about as well, nice wide receiver two going forward. So both good options. When it comes to biggest draft bust, I went with C.J. Spiller, and there's a bunch of potential candidates here. And the reason I'm going with Spiller over Doug Martin is because he's been worse over the course of time that we're determining these awards over the first 8 weeks. So obviously going forward, Spiller has a great opportunity to pass Doug Martin up for this award or beat him out for it, however you want to word it. Spiller's been a starter for almost every single owner that drafted him and is thoroughly disappointed. So scoring less points than such guys as Jason Snelling, Chris Obanaya, Mike Tolbert, Roy Helu, just guys like that. So while Doug Martin, going forward for the rest of the year, he's very likely to be the biggest bust at the end of the season.
We have another call. Jersey, I believe his name is. He has a question about his PPR league. So, Jersey, are you on the air?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Quick question. In my PPR league, 6-2, tie for first, the scoring is 10 points for a rushing touchdown. Point for every catch, a point for every 10 yards receiving or rushing. If you rush for 100 yards, you get 5 bonus points. You receive 100 yards for receiving, you get another 5 bonus points. Right now, I have DeMarco Murray and Peterson on my starters. On my bench, I have Bell and Tate's banged up. In my league, I have, and I'm looking down the road for the playoffs. We go week 14, 15, 16 is the championship. But I also have DeMarco Murray out on week 11. Andre Brown's available on week 11. He'd go against the Packers if I needed him, which would be his second game back. The first game back for Shane Vereen would be week 11 against Carolina in Carolina. Based on my scoring, my possible need for week 11, and then the playoffs, Which one of those two would you pick up if you were me in my situation?
I think it's not even a question. I would go with Shane Vereen just because, I mean, you sound like first of all, your team sounds pretty good and it sounds like you're going to make the playoffs. I wouldn't over-worry about just week 11. I would worry about week 11 plus the playoffs, and I think that Shane Vereen's the much better player, especially, you know, he's just a dual threat, and I think that he's going to be an integral part of the Patriots' offense.
Okay, so you think he'll probably – yeah, because Bolden, I guess, is taking that role now, and LeBlunt will probably fade out, and I guess Bolden will fold out. So you think that's what will happen? You think he'll slide in week 11 and do like he normally did? I mean, he may start, but him and Ridley may split some carries, but they may have him in passing downs. You think that's – you know, because he's due back week 11 or same. That's what you think.
Yeah.
Go
did
back
you say
to that number
PPR? I'm sorry. You threw out a bunch of details there.
Yes.
I got lost.
It's PPR, yeah. PPR, yep.
Yeah. Not only that, Shane Vereen's injury was to his wrist. You know, Andre
right.
Brown broke his leg. It's a lot likely that Shane Vereen is going to come back and have a full workload
right.
than Andre Brown.
I agree.
So.
That scares me with the leg, yes. I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said,
okay.
I think, you know, you sound like you have a pretty good team. You're going to make the playoffs. You're looking at
right.
a multi-week solution in Vereen rather than, you know, who knows what condition the Giants' backfield is going to be in 3 weeks. You know, 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
they didn't have Jacobs or Peyton Hill. So.
Right. And you think Vereen will probably go back to his normal role? Because I know Ridley's been in doghouse. I mean, Bolden hasn't. You know, LeBlunt's fumbled sometimes, too. But you think it may even be they may even you think down the road they may even start Vereen?
I actually, to be honest, I'm not sure. And you say put Vereen back in his role. We don't know what his role is. He had one very good game, kind of a receiving back, you know, and he wasn't that great last year. And they don't. All it takes is one fumble, and his role is the bench.
Right.
So we don't know what his role is. So I wouldn't count
right.
too much on him. Obviously, he has the most upside, and I think you should roster him. But
okay.
going forward, it doesn't look like David Wilson's going to play much. I kind of like Andre Brown. It's a very touchdown heavy league as well, and the Giants
right.
like to play one guy, and they're going to go with him. And I think Andre Brown, if he stays healthy, has the ability to outscore Shane Vereen throughout the course of the season.
On that stuff there. All right, yeah, it makes it tough, man. Like I said, it's like 6-1.5
to another.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what was happening when I'm between the trick-or-treaters were coming there. I'm at probably 5, but thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no, it's
yep.
a pleasure. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, so that's actually one of our more interesting and difficult questions. I didn't know the entire stuff to follow those details. Anyway, as we were talking about biggest draft bust, TJ Spiller, I made my mention. My honorable mentions, Doug Martin, who I referenced during my explanation, Steven Jackson, of course, and David Wilson, all these guys, you know, just riddled by injuries, which doesn't help. Hey, real quick, before we move on, your biggest draft bust. Who's your biggest draft bust? So we can move on from here. Nice. You put Doug Martin and Ray Rice. He knows those are my two guys, but not, obviously not good candidates as well. So well, I think we're going to take the other caller now.
Yes, we do have another caller. His name is Ryan from Wayne, New Jersey.
Ryan from Wayne, how are you?
Hey, guys, it's Brian Horan again. Just I got an interesting predicament this weekend. I think it's a good problem to have, PR league, and I have two tight ends. I want to start one. Do you start Jordan Reed or do you start Antonio Gates?
In a PPR league, I'm going with Jordan Reed every day. I think he's RG3's new favorite weapon. Gates will probably be a little touchdown dependent, and you know he's kind of cooled off since the beginning of the year.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
they're going against each other, which is kind of interesting. So you get to kind of watch your decision play out for worse or for better. But I would actually go with Antonio Gates only because we know he's the more talented guy. Jordan Reed's only been good for what, 2-3 weeks now. Unless you spent about half your free agent budget on Jordan Reed, which I don't see anyone doing. I don't understand why they would have done that. But unless you spent that much on him. and I think you can afford to keep Jordan Reed on your bench. But go with a more talented guy. The reason Gates fell so far is because of his injury history.
Yeah, so, I don't know who would spend half their budget on Jordan Reed. That's crazy.
Not Ryan Horahan, I'll tell you that much.
No, never, guys, never. Absolutely not.
He doesn't have the muscle tone to spend that much on.
I think he actually, I was in front of a kid named, I was behind a kid named Ryan Horahan at line at GNC, and he tried to spend his free agent budget on protein, and they wouldn't accept it.
Oh, that was me. That was me. They did not accept free agent budget on protein, unfortunately. Yeah, that was me, actually. I have the Guido haircut, you know me. I spike my hair up like I did when I was 18.
You know, right? It's all right. We all go through phases. Yeah, it's perfectly
Thanks, guys.
Fine.
You're doing a great job. Don't listen to that Batman character.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Best of luck in your games this weekend. Ray Rice and Doug Martin, we talked about it. I picked C.J. Spiller as my guy. I'm not going to go over the explanation again, but
He was actually my third. You know, I had three guys written down, Martin, Spiller, and Rice. I think Rice might be the biggest bust of them all just because Martin stunk before his injury, but Spiller's been hampered by an injury all year, which I guess you kind of knew was, that was the risk taking him. But, I mean, Rice has just been bad all year with really no explanation. And, you know, Doug Martin, everybody thought he was going to make this huge leap into that elite category. He was a consensus top five pick. And, you know, maybe it was his team being bad, but he was hardly a running back too while he was playing.
Well, the reason you missed it a little, but the reason I went with Spiller over those guys is because he was lower in points per game. And obviously I'd rather own him than Doug Martin going forward just because of the injury, but I think Spiller's been more of a disappointment thus far.
I understand what you're saying, but
at least there could be a explanation with Spiller if it's a hampering injury.
Of course.
And like I said, Doug Martin was just bad, but now that he's hurt for the year, you know. But
of course, let's go on. It's more promising players. Let's go with our starting teams. I don't think it's worth even mentioning Peyton Manning is our quarterback.
Yeah,
I went with an honorable mention of Drew Brees. I'm not sure if you even.
I did not do honorable mention, but my own probably would have been Drew Brees.
Some I did, if they were worthy of mentioning. Starting team, of course, Jamaal Charles. We both go with. He's your MVP. Running back two. I'm sure we're going to have. There could be a few guys here. I actually went with Matt Forte.
Me too.
Forte, okay. And the reason, let me just explain why. He's just been solid all year. Great out of the backfield in this offense. I'd rather have Cutler than McCown, but he's third in scoring behind Oshawn, but only seven points behind him and also already had his bye, as opposed to where Oshawn hasn't. So I think Matt Forte, all he needs to do is score 7 points in his next game, and he would catch up to that pace.
Yeah, and, you know, like, especially in PPR leagues, he's so consistent. He's just going to put, you know, he's going to put up a decent amount of points every game. He's very rarely going to have a bad game.
Right, absolutely.
Did you do two wide receivers or three wide receivers?
I did three. That's the only thing. Did you do it, too? Well, I mean,
I think we're going to have the same three wide receivers.
I think our two are obvious one. Calvin, of course. I went with Wes Welker as number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
And then the third, you can kind of pick any of these guys between Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, A.J. Green, and Dez Bryant. But I listed all three. I put the other two as honorable mentions. Going forward, I'd rather have Dez Bryant.
Yeah, Dez too.
Okay.
Tight ends is obvious.
Jimmy Graham.
I guarantee you our flex is not the same, but go ahead.
You know what? I didn't even do a flex. I had the third wide receiver.
Yeah, do a flex. Who would you?
Well, then it would probably have to be Oshawn.
Yeah, I mean, I did running back. I actually did an honorable mention for this. I said either LeSean McCoy or Fred Jackson, whichever one you want. You know.
At that point, I'd probably rather have LeSean McCoy, especially if you consider going forward.
Did you do a kick on defense?
I did. Matt Prater, most points scored, best offense. I think that's what it is. And
are
defense.
You a Chiefs defense?
Yeah, and I mean, they had not just because they had the most points scored, so it's an obvious pick, but they had the most points scored by 23 points. And for a baseline, the Jets, who we consider a pretty good defense, have 46 points all season long. So for the Kansas City Chiefs to have 23 more points than the second-place team, I think was Seattle,
yeah.
Second-place defense.
And just to reinforce our point from preseason, this is why you screen defenses, because the Chiefs were not a top 10 defense preseason.
Right. The only thing, I know, they've had a very favorable schedule, and it gets a little bit harder going forward. But
they haven't played the Broncos yet. Yeah.
Yeah. So it helps with who they played, and that's probably, then again, we're only basing off the first 8 weeks of the season.
But, yeah, and again, isn't that what streaming defense is all about?
Right.
Matchups?
Right, of course. Best value pick, no-brainer. We both went with No-Sean, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I have Fred Jackson as an honorable mention, but
No-Sean. I actually drafted No-Sean this league in the 13th round and dropped him promptly a few weeks later for Donald Brown.
Nice.
It was, and I texted you right away, because there's an inside joke between me and T and I with Donald Brown. It was also a waiver pickup by many, though, so second running back points right now, hasn't gotten hurt. We know we always had the talent, just hasn't been able to be consistent. This year he has, and he's in the best offense in the league. So best rookie, I think this is pretty simple, too, Eddie Lacy.
I actually have, I think the best rookie so far has been Andre Ellington. The rookie I have, I'd want most going forward is Eddie Lacy.
Well, maybe most
when
of them, for fantasy purposes, not even close.
No, Andre Ellington's outscored Eddie Lacy.
I find that very hard to believe.
He's outscored Eddie Lacy.
I mean, Eddie Lacy did miss two games as well.
That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, Ellington, besides last game, I don't think he's done much with it, so... It's all around, it's a very unimpressive year for rookies. So,
in my league, Andre Ellington has 16 more points than other rookies.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, Jack Stacy could eventually compete with him, but just hasn't had enough stars.
Yeah, like I said, going forward, I fully expect Eddie Lacy to outscore Andre Ellington, I just think.
Well, I mean, Ellington's finally getting a shot now. I don't think he's even that close, but whatever, it just goes to show. Both have been pretty bad. Players most likely to turn around this season, and I went with a quarterback, a running back, and a wide receiver.
I just did one, but go ahead.
I'm going to go. I picked Brady as my quarterback.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, he can't get any worse.
I have Spiller as my player.
I have Ray Rice, just because you don't know
with
the Spiller injury. Well, Spiller, if Fred Jackson doesn't get hurt, and Spiller's going to stay, you could say the backup, or less carries than Spiller.
It's the same reason with what I use for the draft bust. At least we know why Spiller's been bad. Spiller's been bad because he's been hurt. I don't know why.
But he's still not getting. He's not getting opportunities as well.
Yeah, I'm just saying he missed last week. Maybe it's an ankle injury. Maybe a week off did well for him.
I think Rice is the clear number one guy there. So I think because of his opportunity, he has the best chance of turning it around. And he also, Ray Rice going forward, has a very, very easy playoff schedule. Playing Minnesota, Detroit, and the Patriots.
Who's your wide receiver? Because not many wide receivers have been bust so far.
Out of all the owned players I searched by, and this is actually my favorite buy low candidate, I went with Roddy White. Just because...
He hasn't played. How's he turning around?
he's been pretty much wasting a roster spot for eight weeks. He's been pretty. It was a terrible draft pick. Anywhere from the second to fourth round. So that's which is pretty much where you took Fitzgerald too. But we expect him to play. Not only this news came out right before week one, and he played the first 2 weeks. What did he play first? He played longer than that. What did he play the first few weeks?
I think first 3 weeks.
And, it was a decoy, but, I mean, so people still started him in fantasy. It's not like you were benching him at that point. But I think they learned their lesson. They're going to wait until he's fully healthy in order to bring him back, which still is bad that he's going to be wasting his roster spot without playing, but it's promising that when he does come back, he's one of those situations where, like Percy Harvin, you want to wait until he has his big week before you start him. I think you can start Roddy White the first week he does come back, because he's not going to make that mistake again.
All right, let's talk about we also did a first-round mock if we redrafted today. We both did one. Who is your number one overall pick?
My number one was Jamal Charles.
Yeah, mine as well. Two.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Three. Then it started getting – I thought it was good.
Yeah, my first two picks were really easy. Then I had to start thinking.
And you can switch this order around any way you want, but I went with DeSean McCoy at three.
At three. I actually went with Calvin at three.
Okay, I have Calvin 4. So
yeah, I went Matt Forte 4, and then I have McCoy at 5.
All right, close enough. I have Adrian Peterson at 5, just because it's Adrian Peterson, and you still have to have some faith in this guy. He blew up towards the end of the season last year. He had an unimpressive beginning of the year in 2012 as well. So if any other guy, I know he hasn't been good, and this offense is kind of a mess right now, but if anyone can step it up, it's AP.
I actually have Nosa Moreno at 6.
I have Dez Bryant at 6, and I think that's why I put Calvin at 4 instead of 3, because we throw an extra wide receiver into the first round. So Calvin's not as dominant as he was last season. But if anyone would argue that Dez Bryant is out of the first round, I wouldn't object to that whatsoever.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I have Dez at 10, Peterson at 11. I think Peterson's team is so bad. I don't think he's going to really. He could be better, but he's not going to be Adrian Peterson.
It's hard to pass up on Adrian Peterson. Yeah. All right, so Dez Bryant, I have Matt Forte at number 7.
I have your boy Jimmy Graham at 7 overall.
Yeah, and the only reason I didn't go with Jimmy Graham in the first round is because if we're redrafting today, that's just based off the rest of the season and that injury, the plantar fasciitis, he's going to be limited. And what did he play, 18 snaps or whatever? He only got 3 targets. He made all 3 catches and 2 for touchdowns. He really did make the most of it. But I don't know. If I could trade Jimmy Graham, I hate to do it, but it might be a sell high right now. And I'm definitely not taking him in the first round anymore. This pick I hate, number 8. I really do. And the only reason I'm doing it is kind of the same as the Adrian Peterson pick, just because of their history and the situation they're in. Arian Foster at number 8. I know the injury would affect it a little bit, and if we were drafting right now, I'd probably move him down and put Noshon into this spot or something. But
have you had Noshon go yet?
No. I didn't. I've had him somewhere around like 10 or 11 based on Forster status. But
yeah, I actually have Marshawn Lynch at 8.
Yeah,
I think he's.
I was thinking of putting him there, but in a PPR league, I just dropped him a little bit. But definitely.
Yeah, in a year where running backs have been so bad, it would just at this point, if you could take a guy that's not an A player but a B plus player and just highly consistent, then I think at this point you'd have to think about taking him. And at 9, I have your other boy Reggie Bush.
This was a tough one for me. I put Reggie Bush around that 10th spot, the last pick in the first round. And I put Aaron Rodgers at 9 just because I moved him to the first round because of the inconsistency at quarterbacks, where we thought we had so many quarterback ones at the beginning of the year. And now with the downgrade of Tom Brady and all 4 of the second-year quarterback-esque players, the rushing quarterbacks, I guess you could say, they dropped a little bit.
For what it's worth, I had Bush at 9. And then, as I said, Dez and Peterson at 10 and 11, and then I actually had Drew Brees at 12. So I think our thinking is along the same lines. But
yeah, it was actually pretty similar. I thought it was going to – and the order was fairly close. I think Dez Bryant was the only outcast between the two of our mock drafts.
And then Forte, maybe. You had Forte a lot lower than I did.
No, close enough.
Yeah.
But still, fairly consistent. So that covers that. The midseason fantasy football awards. Let's see how – we'll hold on to these sheets to see how those hold out towards the end of the year and see how much that changes. It'll be interesting to note that. Have you ever, I guess you did it this year. We both did our rankings. I found my rankings from like 2 years ago. I think I told you about this. And they're just, some of them are just way off. It's kind of cool and kind of interesting to see what everyone was thinking back then and just how wrong you were.
Yeah, well, the good news is that this year, I usually do my rankings, print them out, and then throw them away. This year I actually did them on a website that would allow me, for the podcast services, they would allow me to update them weekly. So I did them on the internet, and it saves them. So I can go back at any time and actually see my rankings. So maybe at the end of the year we'll go back to our rankings and see what our preseason rankings look like.
Yeah, it'll absolutely be fun, but not
it might
as fun
be scary
as...
too.
Yeah, still, I guess we'll be the only ones seeing them as long as we don't talk about them next year. But anyway, let's move on. It's not as fun as our favorite segment of the show, Conte Picks of the Week. As I said, Conte 3-4 last week.
A little unimpressive. Okay, he's very confident this week. I think he's going to go with the Jets again. Is that a record? Have you gone with the Jets every week? All right. I got to start paying attention more to Conte. Like I said, I haven't even used your pick, even after that huge week you went through. But anyway, let's get you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to week 9 of Conte's Picks. Hope you all enjoyed the mid-season version of the show. But onto the gambling side of the football world. Let me just clarify last week's 3-4 record. Yes, you know, we're not here to go 3-4, but one of the tough losses. It was easily one of my two favorite games last week. Clifton Moe's Detroit Lions, they set a record with the most yards allowed by a Dallas Cowboys defense in NFL history, I believe. Moe, what was it, 600-plus?
Oh, I think, Calvin did half of that on his own, so I don't know the exact number.
All right, well, and then nevertheless, you know, tough loss, a couple of terrible turnovers by the Lions, but at least they got the job done for Cousin Mo, despite not covering the spread. I digress. On to week 9. It was tough to find 7 games I liked this week. There's 6 teams on bye, There's a lot of tough games this week, but we found 7, and let's just hope they're all winners. And we're going to kick things off with tonight's game. T and I cannot disagree anymore on this pick. I mean, he likes the Bengals. I, on the other hand, like the Dolphins getting the 3. The Dolphins, if anyone remembers last week, they got off to a fast start in New England. They were up 17-3, and then they just, self-imploded. Tom Brady got hot. The Bengals, wasn't really much of a game against my Jets. It was a scrimmage, essentially. And I don't know. I mean, the Bengals are definitely the better team, the much better offense. But I just think, night game in Miami, the Dolphins really, really need this game if they want any chances at a wild card spot. Like we were talking about earlier on in the show, Andy Dalton, the Andy Dalton we've been seeing, this is the first we've seen of, and Andy Dalton, who looks like an elite quarterback. I think this week he comes back down to earth. Very defensive game. I see like a 20-16 game, something along those lines. I think the Dolphins get the job done. They need it a lot more than the Bengals do. The Bengals, even if they lose this, are sitting at 5-3 at top of the division. I like the Dolphins tonight. On to the next game, and who would have thought we'd ever see this spread? I like the Carolina Panthers giving a whopping 9.5 points to the Atlanta Falcons, who, let's be real, I mean, they're dead. Their season's over. I mean, at this point, they're just playing for pride. They're 2-5. The Saints are way ahead of them. There's other wildcard teams that have 4-5 wins. The Panthers, it seems like they're really turning the corner here in Cam Newton's third year. They've got ferocious defense. I think the Falcons are going to, Matty Ice is going to have a very tough time. He threw 4 picks, I believe, against Arizona last week. I think the Panthers' defense is going to get all over him. And, I mean, Cam Newton should just feast on that Falcons' defense. They haven't had a pass rush or a secondary all year. So I expect the Panthers to win big. On to the 3rd pick, and this is where it gets quite interesting. Conte is taking the Buffalo Bills, getting 3 against the unbeaten Kansas City Chiefs. You remember, dating back the last 2 weeks, I went against the Chiefs those previous 2 weeks. They were 7-point favorites against the Texans and the Browns, and they won the Texans game by 1 point, the Browns game by 3 points. Both of those games were at home. The Buffalo Bills, I know Fab Lewis might not be going, but we're not sure on that yet. But nevertheless, I like the Bills. I think the Chiefs, they barely, got by the skin of their teeth last week. They're going to lose a game. Think about what we're saying here. The Alex Smith Kansas City Chiefs are 8-0. I just think in Buffalo, it's always been a tough place to play up there in Orchard Park. I think the Bills, they find a way to get it done. The Chiefs will probably have an off game. They're due to lose one. I like the Bills. And as a matter of fact, I think the Bills win the game outright. Yes, I do. And that should be my upset pick of the week, but we'll get to that with the final pick. For the 4th game, you know, a bit of a curveball here. I like the Eagles against the Oakland Raiders. The Eagles have looked just dreadful. You know, they got knocked around last week by the Giants of all teams. The week before, they didn't even score a touchdown against the Cowboys. Nick Foles is starting this week. And, you know, the Raiders, a bit of a surprise. You know, the game's in Oakland. Terrell Pryor hasn't looked half bad, but as T stated earlier, Terrell Pryor, he had a 93-yard touchdown in the first play from scrimmage, and that was where all of his fantasy points came from. So, obviously, they couldn't have moved the ball much, you know, despite although it was against a tough scout Steelers defense. You know, I just think the Eagles are due for a win. From, you know, Chip Kelly should have a good game plan. You know, it's a bit of a, you know, pedestrian game. It's probably one of the worst games on the schedule, but I just think the Raiders are due for a hiccup here. They won their last two games at home. I like the Eagles to get the job done with Nick Foles under center and LeSean McCoy, you know, helps carry them to victory. On to the fourth game here, fifth game. And we're going to another divisional matchup here, the Cleveland Browns taking on the Baltimore Ravens. A bit of a coin flip, but I'm going to go with the darlings of the NFL so far, the resilient bunch that is the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if anyone's paid attention to the Baltimore Ravens splits. Joe Flacco has just been, you know, downright dreadful on the road. I mean, the one game up in Buffalo, he threw five picks. You know, he had against the Steelers, he was less than stellar, to say the least. I just think the Browns, hey, they may not have pedestrian quarterback, you know, other than Josh Gordon, no playmakers really, but their defense is a problem. You know, they got bodies on that front seven. Joe Hayden's going to, you know, shut down Torrey Smith. I love this Browns defense, and, you know, they almost got it done for them last week in Arrowhead. I think they come through this week. They move to 4-5. They need this game. So do the Ravens, but I think in the dog pound, Cleveland gets it done. And here we are, almost done. On to game six. The Sunday night game with Case Keenum. I like another upset. I've done it before, picking against the Colts. I love the Houston Texans Sunday night. I mean, let's be honest. The Texans aren't going to make the playoffs, but if they have any chance, like, this is the week. You know, they're at home, Sunday night football, Case Keenum's first home start. There's a little uncertainty in the backfield with Arian Foster, but I think the Texans play a very good game. I pointed it out 2 weeks ago when the Colts played the Chargers. The Colts are not nearly as good on the road, as they are at home. And I just think the Texans get it done. They need this game a lot more than the Colts do. The Texans, surprised their pass defense isn't so bad. You know, I think they'll limit Andrew Luck. He'll get his. But I just think in the end, the Texans find a way to get the job done. And we are on to the upset pick of the week. Who else would it be? Let's be realistic here. My New York Jets coming off I don't know what word I would use to describe it. I mean, it's more than a joke. I mean, more than an embarrassment. It was a bloodbath at the hands of the Cincinnati Bengals. But, you know, as we've seen all year, the Jets are, you know, a Jekyll and Hyde team. They'll have you saying 1 week, oh, they look pretty decent. Then the next week they'll come out and we'll say, oh, who are these guys? So, I mean, it's not going to be easy. I mean, Drew Brees is going to score an easy, you know, 24 points against us. You know, no one, the Jets certainly aren't going to stop them. Nobody has all year, but, I just think there's something about this Jets team that when their backs are against the wall is when they play their best, you know. They're a very resilient bunch. I think, I mean, let's be real, Dee Milner can't possibly play any worse than he did last week, you know. The Saints don't have any real threats at wide receiver. I mean, obviously Jimmy Graham is like a wide receiver, but aside from him, you know, their other wideouts are pretty pedestrian. It should be a very entertaining game, but in the end, I just think, you know, my Jets are going to will themselves to victory behind, you know, the defensive line and Geno Smith. I take the 6 points, but put me on record saying the Jets are going to win this game outright and be a shocking 5-4 going into the bye week. Who would have possibly thought? But hey, that's why they play the games. and that's why you just listen to Conscious Picks. Enjoy the games. I'm going to give it to Cousin Mo to wrap things up. Mo, take it away.
Tons, real quick before you come off, just read them off again. List off the games.
All right, here we are. We're going to start with tonight's game. The Dolphins getting 3 points against the Bengals. Remember, this is T-Love the Bengals.
A
list. You know?
No analysis. We got plenty of that.
I'm just saying. All right, we got Bills +3 against Kansas City. Philadelphia Eagles +1 against Oakland Raiders. The Browns +1 against the Baltimore Ravens. The Panthers giving 9.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. The Houston Texans +1 against the Indianapolis Colts. And the upset special, the Jets +6 against the New Orleans Saints.
Very nice, Const. Again, spoken with the utmost confidence. So I think he's going to improve on his not-so-bad week, 3-4 last week. But I would listen up. Like I said, I have faith in your concept, faith in you going forward. That's why we bring you back every week, among other reasons. But that's all the time we have today. I think one of our longer shows, actually. We do still finish up in time. We have the Bengals-Dolphins coming up soon. Dolphins, we'll just want to mention, have lost 4 in a row since starting 3-0. And I know it upsets a lot of people, specifically in my family. That's why I wanted to throw it out there. But anyway, that's all the time we have today. This is Mo for T and Cons, the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for listening, and best of luck this weekend. Take it to the house.
We don't play, we take it to the house. M-I-A, take it to the house. It's the way we take it to the house. Take it to the house, take it to the house.